So, couple of things. The first one, we'll just knock the easy one off. Brian, I am not Festival. That's the first thing that I would like to get on the record.
Well, of course, that's what you're going to say, Brad. But yes, okay.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Brad. That's Brad. That's Brad. And that's Brad. This is a special episode. It's a special episode of the show. Long-time listeners will understand we're not live referencing everyone as Brad. But I'm Barry, that's Russ, that's Brian, that's Brad Parker, director of what? Marketing? Not marketing. The Festivus, or C3, right?
Festival director, and I think we're losing you a little bit there, Barry.
Yeah, we got you. We're good. We might have to kick you off the show here before it's all said and done, but it's totally cool.
That's fine. I'm going to do as little talking as I can, because what we want to do is hear Brad. Brad is with us today because we wanted to talk about, a lot of people on the socials have a lot of questions about camping at Bonnaroo. And so we wanted to go to the man who can answer those questions. So where do you want to start, Brad?
Well, if it's okay, I'd like to start on some non-camping things.
Would love that.
Yes, go for it.
So you guys know I'm a big fan of the show. So I listen to every episode. You might not believe me, but I do every week.
I don't believe you, but go ahead.
It takes me a couple of days, but I listen to it from my garage to when I park at my office, and I do that every day going home or to work until I finish the episode. So it usually takes me 3 days because I have a short drive, but I do. So I just made a list on Friday. I went through and made a list of things.
We love a list, Brad. Yeah. We love a list.
Well, I know you talk a lot about prep, Brian. So I came prepared for today's podcast.
Well, that's all I got right there.
So a couple of things. The first one, we'll just knock the easy one off. Brian, I am not Festival. That's the first thing that I would like to get on the record.
Well, of course, that's what you're going to say, Brad. But yes, okay.
I'm not. And I you know, at Bonnaroo, what I may do is allow you to see me and the Festival in the same room at the same time.
Well, now that would be breaking news of all breaking news.
I might be able to arrange that.
Okay. All right.
Something interesting that came up with the other Brad, we'll refer to him in Bonnaroo nomenclature, the other Brad.
Our other asshole friend, Brad. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that came up on your all's episode was that I thought was interesting and maybe not 100% correct, and I just wanted to kind of throw it out there, was he talked about, you know, Brad kind of made the assumption that a company like C3 would be aggregating a lot of ticket data to make the assumption of there are Luke Combs and Dom Dalla fans, I think was the example that he used as far as like overlap. And I wish we were that smart. I wish we were using that tons of ticket buyer data. The truth is, as you've probably seen with a lot of things in the news, like we have to be very careful with how we're looking into data, how we're sharing it within the company or outside the company, whether it be Ticketmaster or wherever the information's coming from. So I wish that we were using more of that data to our advantage when it comes to booking a show like Bonnaroo, but it's not. The truth is, and I think I talked a little bit about this whenever we were maybe hinting at a country headliner. I can't remember if we had talked about that before the lineup came out, but
yeah, you did.
The truth there with those two specific examples is that, you know, the EDM scene is undeniably a new part of our core audience. The underground counterculture scene of electronic music is, you know, kind of like the jam scene of the early 2000s. Like, it's a very counterculture movement. It's kind of like a silent majority, I would call it, even though it's not very silent anymore. And then with Luke, it was kind of going back to the roots of our name, which I think we talked about, which is the best in the streets. Bonnaroo's always tried to offer what's the hottest thing right now? Not what was hot in 2005 and now we're going to offer it again, but what's hot right now? And you can look at any metric out there and see that country music is undeniably the largest, most commercial it's ever been, globally and domestically. So these were not necessarily driven by seeing overlap in fans, but just by looking at what is the hottest stuff that's out there right now. And electronic and country are towards the top of the list. I mean, you've got Post Malone putting out a country record, right? You've got the biggest art. You've got Beyonce winning a country Grammy. You've got
Chapel did a country song.
She, and I've heard that may be leading to an album. And Lana Del Rey is looking at a country album. Yeah. Country has the attention of everyone, and so for us as Bonnaroo to ignore that completely, I think would be a little bit of us not doing our jobs correctly. So, that was a long way to say there's no magic ticket data machine that we're tapping into. Or really, a lot of this still, guys, with Bonnaroo is like gut. Like, we're going with our gut to figure out what's going to work. Like, there, I promise you, there is no data point that says book Insane Clown Posse and Luke Combs on the same day. I promise you that data does not exist.
I believe that.
And then one last thing, and then we can get into camping. This is perfect, too, because I used my 10 minutes to just talk about my own shit, so that way you guys can talk about what you want to talk about.
We got all day, man.
Sounds like the other Brad too.
I know, right? There's a lot of Brads have a lot of things in common.
Yeah.
The last one that I want to point out, it because I feel like this comes up a lot, and I don't know if it's necessarily a fair characterization, is just you hear a lot about festival headliners. Like, you all have mentioned the Gov Ball and Bonnaroo lineups a lot, and I think that that's a fair thing to pay attention to and to look at. I think that the reasoning behind that is what's maybe not too fair. There's a lot of this notion that goes around that, you know, big companies, Live Nation, C3, like, the reason we repeat headliners is because we go and put these package deals together and it's what financially makes the most sense. That's not necessarily true. I don't feel like there's a lot of times when we get a crazy discount because we're going to go offer someone five festivals instead of one. There is a relationship key to it, right? We have agents and artists that we like to work with, so bringing them more business helps that move that relationship forward. But the reason I wanted to bring it up is because it's really an inventory issue on the artist side. There's a limited number of artists that can play these size shows, right, and be true headliners. And I've talked before about us making the effort to kind of move into a new class of headliners, taking the risk on people like Fred and Hozier, who are undeniably big artists, but they've just never optically been seen in that position from a fan perspective. So there's always a little pushback. This has always been the thing. Like, I pulled up the other day whenever I heard, I think, Brad talking about it on your all's last episode. If you go back to 2010, 2015, and look at Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, GovBall, they were all happening. They were unrelated at the time. GovBall was independent. Lolla was C3. AC was doing Bonnaroo. But if you look at the top 20 acts on those shows, it's a 50% overlap, if not more. The reason I think that there's so much more attention to it now is because you see every festival lineup when it comes out within 10 minutes. The data is instantly in your phone. 15, 20 years ago, you had to make an effort to see the lineup for a festival that happened 1,000 miles away from where you live, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, they were more regional then.
I think the frequency of seeing these acts is just more now, and so you lean in to say, oh, they just booked the same bands. It's like, no, it's always been that. But the overlap of people in New York City that are going to go see GovBall and the people that are going to drive to Bonnaroo is a very, very, very small overlap of people. It's a completely different customer. So if the same three artists are right for both of those in 1 year, then that's how sometimes it ends up, like the way it did with GovBall this year, I think.
About that, when you guys see GovBall and it in this case, I know there's been overlap, but this one it struck us as more than usual. My question is, does that concern you guys at all, the overlap? I mean, I understand what you're saying about inventory, and I appreciate your answer, but does it concern you guys at all when you see the different lineups?
I don't. Well, Brian, did you want to add anything? I think I got all of that, what he's asking. Did you want to add anything to that?
Just if you want to just tag this, spend a tiny amount on it if you want. Just you said the headliners are harder to get, or maybe they always have been. Is that a dollars thing because they can make more money doing their own full shows, or is it a little more complicated than that? That's as simple as I had on that one.
No, that's a great question. The dollars thing really comes into play about, you know, when we talk about legacy artists, like, you know, we used to have Paul McCartney, Elton John, all of those artists play festivals like Bonnaroo. And you don't see that anymore really on any festival, regardless of its size, because those artists can make way more money playing their own shows. I think what I'm saying is you don't have a ton of touring acts as an option that can purely do the amount of sales that you need for them to headline an 50,000 to 80,000 person festival, right? That has to be an act that is doing either a lot of arenas, or maybe they've even stepped into playing stadiums. And there's just not, you know, you're talking about, my guess would be 20 to 25 artists in the whole world that are doing, you know, regular stadium business. And some of those are international acts that you're not gonna necessarily make sense of for your festival. Like Bad Bunny does crazy business, right? But Bad Bunny doesn't make sense on every show. So you even lose some of the artists that are options for you just based on the genre that they and the fan that they're selling tickets to. Barry, to your question, It doesn't concern us. I'm glad that we announced before them, because I think that Bonnaroo gets to be a preview for music fans for the whole year about what kind of artists they're going to see touring. I don't care that we're necessarily the only ones, but I do like that we're first. I think that there's while there is a very small amount of people that are making the choice between a Lala or a Bonnaroo or a Govball, right? It's a very small cross-section of fans. I think that there is something to the magic of you're the one opening your present first on Christmas Day, even if you know everybody else is getting the same present.
Yeah, you're all getting the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It's just you got them first.
Yeah. So I like being that. I like being first. I have no concern that we share on some years, even all three headliners. You know, historically, we've shared, I think, at least one with Govball. All three is pretty rare. That's just how it shook out for this year. But it doesn't concern me at all. I'm glad that we're the first ones out.
Well, to jump right into camping, this is a more generic question for you specifically. I don't know your long-term history with the festival. I know your recent history with the festival. Have you ever camped at Bonnaroo in GA, in general admission? Have you ever done that?
I camped in GA for the first 3 years I attended as a fan. And then...
What years were those?
That was 2009, and then, I take that back. I camped GA in 2009. That was my first time as a fan. 2012, I camped GA. 2013 was my first year at AC. I worked the festival, but I was low enough on the totem pole that I still camped that year, but it was in staff camping, which... is pretty much GA campaign.
I've seen it.
Thing. So those were the 3 years that I've camped, and then I was either in an RV or a hotel for every year after that.
So you know this firsthand. That's good. We haven't done it in a while. I've done it many times, but it's been a very long time. But so you say 9, 12, 13-ish. That is kind of a transformational period of the camping environment, of the ethos of it. It from the, you know, it used to be just come on in and let's see how quickly we can get you in a little spray painted spot, you know, and now it's far more complicated than that. And that was kind of, if my memory is serving right, when that transition was happening to where what we now know is a wonderland of opportunity, not just a place to park your car and sleep and hang out with your friends when you're not in Centaroo. How has that challenge been staffing wise, security wise, to just not be, hey, park, okay, cool, done with you, park, okay, cool, done with you. It's got to be a lot more to it than that.
That's what makes Bonnaroo so challenging compared to other shows.
Yeah, I bet.
The camping element. We spend more money on the campgrounds than we do on the bands. And that's some of that is post pandemic inflation, right? We've seen the cost of things like fencing and lumber and porta potties like all just continue to kind of skyrocket. And we pay for all that. And a lot of it we pay, you know, we don't own it, we rent it. So it's a cost that we just incur every year. I think you're right. I think probably 2012 to 2015 is when there started to be some real more investment into the experience out there. I think what we did, I shouldn't say we, I think what happened was at first we invested in, there needs to be more stuff going on in the campgrounds. You need to be able to get better food. You need to be able to watch a band in a coffee shop if you don't want to go all the way into Centaroo at 2 p.m. Like, that was the first thought, I think, because we had this magic math that said, you know, at any given time, like 20% of our fans are not in Centaroo. They're out in the campgrounds doing something. So if we know they're there, what are we offering them to do? I think from 2019 to now, we've kind of refocused on the necessities of life in the campgrounds. We want to offer more showers. We want to offer more bathrooms. We want to make the bathrooms cleaner. We want to pave more roads so you're not inhaling dust. We want to put more showers. We want to have a good general store. I don't know if you all went to our new general store last year.
Did not.
I mean, 100 times better than what we've ever offered. I mean,
I remember the old general store very, very well, but yeah.
This one was like walking into a Walgreens. I mean, the company that we hired, it's an independent company, and they go all across the country and they just make general stores for festivals. And their pricing is very reasonable. They have anything you want, from beer to paper towels to you know, if you need high stuff for hygiene, soap, stuff like that, toothpaste. And we got a ton of great feedback on that. So continuing, I think what you'll see this year is that we're going to continue to maybe not focus on who are the big bands that we're having do a pop-up show in the campgrounds, but are we making it easy for people to live there for 4 or 5 days? That is like where our focus is right now.
Is it fair to say, you say you're not going to focus on an entertainment standpoint of bands and those things, but is it fair to say you've almost like you've contracted that out without, by word of mouth and handshake? The patrons are creating that environment themselves to a lot of degree. So it sounds like you don't really need to focus on that as much, outside of maybe the plazas, like where those are very curated.
Yeah, the plazas will still continue to do, you know, what we want to do that we think is very Bonnaroo. Like at We're in the Woods this year, you're going to see some more cool programming with NASA. You're going to see kind of a Southern DJ takeover where we're going to have collectives that represent sort of different cultural hubs of the South take over for hours in We're in the Woods and kind of showcase a different style. So you'll see a bunch of guys from Atlanta one day. You'll see guys from New Orleans one day. You'll see guys from Miami one day. And so those are like the cultural community things that we'll keep investing in as a festival. And then leaning in on people in group and other people that reach out to us and say, hey, we have a cool idea. We just need you to help us execute it. And then Corey and I try our best to do that, right? We've talked about some of the challenges there with insurance and things like that, but Corey and I are yes men, so we always lead with, okay, let us go figure out what we have to do to make this happen, rather than, oh, this just seems like a lot of exposure and a lot of work that we don't want to have to deal with. But you're right, Brian. I mean, the fans program to an extent themselves. I mean, we've had people reach out and say, we want to host a kickball tournament. Can you give us enough grass? Can you give us enough grass that we can play a kickball game? And that's challenging, right? Because we need grass to let people camp on. But
isn't the short answer to that, no.
We've tried to figure it out. But the truth is, the grass we could give them is not convenient to where they are. So they would have to be going, to a complete different part of the campground to participate. And that's so. Funny. But there's stuff like that all the time that people reach out, and we always want to make it happen. So if you have those ideas, if you're listening to this podcast and you have those ideas, reach out to us. There's tons of different ways. We look at Instagram DMs. You can go to info@bonnaroo.com. That's a real person that looks at that email. It's not just a ChatGPT bot that's responding to your question. So reach out to us if you got ideas on programming.
Well, the imagination and the creativity of the Bonnaroovian universe is pretty strong, and it comes from the spirit of the festival all the way around. It's one of the things that fascinates me the most. Something I probably should have said right off the bat before we got into camping, because this is not a camping question, and I'm not even going to word it as a question as much. I'm just going to ask you to speak to it. If you listen to the show like you say you do, you know what our opinions probably are on the one-day tickets, as far as what we're going to immediately guess as to why all of a sudden we have the one-day tickets. Would you speak to that decision that recently was implemented in the last week or so?
I would love to speak on one-day tickets.
Let's go.
I would love to give my thoughts on that, because I try to in Discord, but it only pierces the people that always agree with me anyway. So I need to get out to the haters in some form or fashion. So the first thing I'll say is the overall financial health, I'll call it, of the event, or the number of sales that are happening with 4-day people camping, is not indicative of any decision made around single days.
Okay. That's what we would assume, yeah. Without, maybe recklessly. But go ahead.
The single day tickets, I'm trying to think of a way to word this that I won't get in trouble. out of COVID, we saw that single day tickets were a way to help us turn this festival in the right direction financially, because of all the challenges we had through COVID and that I mentioned previously in this episode. We found that daily tickets are a way to help us correct some of that issue, because we have a lot less expenses tied to people that come for one day than people that come for 5 days. They don't use the showers. They don't use the bathrooms as much. There's all of these things that they... resources that campers put a strain on, right? Yeah.
I was gonna say less strain on the infrastructure.
And that costs a lot of money. And so the single days we found was a way that we could kind of work around that. And so what we've done is we've decided, here's a capacity of Bonnaroo for camping, and here's a capacity on top of that number that can be for daily people. And that number for camping is obviously not as big as what it used to be, because we have to take up some of that inventory of campers for the one-day ticket holders, strictly from a capacity perspective, right? So that is what that is. That's what single days are. And the one thing I will try not to get on my soapbox, but...
You can stand on it. I don't care.
Yeah.
The people that I see commenting everywhere that one-day ticket holders kill the vibe and they're the worst and all of this stuff.
I'm glad you're going here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going in. The thing that I want to say is the percentage of people that you're seeing, like if you looked at all the tickets we sell, the daily ticket holder percentage is a single percentage. It's less than 10. So... if you're going to tell me that a bunch of people ruin your day and that you've identified 4% of the people that are on the farm with you, and you just know that those are the people that ruined your day are single ticket buyers, you're just making it up. Like it's, yeah. Yeah, if yeah. I put you in a room with 100 people, you're not going to find the three. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, and if you're on a farm with 50, 60, 70,000 people, the statistically, the data would say whoever ruined your vibe is also a camper. Like, that's, the math would support that claim.
Or it was you and you forgot it was you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just,
by the time you're in Cineroo, you're not going to know unless you look at their wristband. You can't tell who's here one day, who's day four days. You know,
no,
it's impossible.
And the reason I don't like that narrative is because, one, statistically, it's not accurate. And two, it really turns new fans off from wanting to come try the show. And that's why we have daily tickets. Like, my hope is that someone buys a daily ticket, has such a great time that they do come back the next year and want to camp.
Well, I was going to ask if you have any numbers on that. Do you know how many percent of one-day ticket buyers convert to a full weekend?
We haven't had enough years, I don't think, of data.
Yeah, that sample size is small.
Right.
Yeah.
The sample size is too small. But I know anecdotally through stories that those people do exist. So at some point we'll be able to track data on that. But, like, the least Bonnaroovian thing you can do is turn someone off to come into the show. And the narrative of, if you're a single ticket buyer and you come to the show, you're ruining the event for the rest of everyone, that would make me not want to go, right? I don't want that label on me. I don't want to be there, people thinking I'm ruining the vibe. So that is something that I try to, that's a narrative that I try to squash whenever I see it. If I can, without getting myself in too much trouble or arguing with anonymous Reddit bots.
Sure. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on it because I've always...
If I can, I want to cross. I know once you've got a compiled, we had some of the questions with Discord, whatever. Got all this.
Yeah, I got a ton of questions compiled. So whenever y'all are done yapping,
jump into a couple of those and maybe we'll go see where that takes us.
Let's do it.
Okay, ready. So I kind of combined some of these and grouped them. And the first one I've got here is we've got some questions about Moon Colony, which I believe is kind of like the pre-pitched tent option that you walk in and your tent's already set up. Is that right?
Moon Colony is pre-pitched options. There's also the new power car camping option.
Yes.
There's a few non-pre-pitched options in Moon Colony, but a majority of it is pre-pitched.
Okay. First question, it was somebody asking about more amenities in there. They said it was a hike to kind of get ice and then make it back to camp before it melted. And then somebody was also asking, speaking of like the powered option, exactly how much can it handle? Like, could you run a blender, blow dryer, DJ setup? And then the other question was, is there an option to swap out two twin cots for a queen if they wanted, or is there room outside of the tent to set up a canopy or an easy up, or does the tent take up the entire spot? So,
okay. So let me hit a few of those. Let me hit the easy ones first.
Yeah.
For the amenities question, we just put together a budget and got it approved for, probably the largest single year improvement to bathrooms, showers, all of that stuff that you'll see in Bonnaroo ever. So last year to this year is going to be a night and day thing. You're going to see literally double the amount of bathroom locations, and you're going to see increased staffing cleaning those areas. You're going to see shade implemented in those areas. So, you're going to see a huge night and day difference there. As far as like ice and things like that, that aren't necessarily related to maybe amenities. We're looking at expanding that general store, meaning multiple locations. And I think that a small satellite location in Moon Colony would make sense.
Okay.
Can't commit to that 100% yet, but it is, I'm just acknowledging that it's on our minds and on our list. The car camping with power, that is meant to do really, I would call it anything that takes up the same or less power as like a microwave. Small appliances, charger phone, box fan, laptops, small refrigerators, but it's not really meant to take a ton of power like plugging in an audio system or a full-size refrigerator or anything like that. We are setting up some options there and at the toll booths to charge electric vehicles. I'm just throwing that out there because I know that that's been a question I've seen pop up. So we'll have an option for people that want to, you know, plug in their Tesla or Prius or whatever and get a little boost through the weekend. We're looking at options to set those up around in some key locations. And then the last one was about the space outside the tent. You have an area to, you know, if you wanted to set up tables and stuff outside your car that you could host your food and stuff on, like, you've got some room. I wouldn't say, well, let me say this. You've got room for a canopy if you and your neighbor are going to be friends. Like, because you might encroach a little bit on their space depending upon the size of the canopy. But I would say that you've got room to do that. And then what was the last one, Taka? Was it about
swapping out the cot sizes for, you know, maybe a couple twins to a queen?
Yeah, let me look at something real quick. I'm going to pull up my cheat sheet because I think when you buy that, it makes you choose.
Yeah, I think somebody did comment that said you can choose between when you buy that.
When you purchase it on the website, there is a double twin and a queen option. So you just have to choose which one you want.
Okay.
So think real hard, make your decision, move along.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I hope that a lot of people can make this decision ahead of time, but Bonnaroo is all about the pivot. We want to be accommodating when we can. So if somebody shows up and they decide they'd rather have two twins instead of a queen, like, our team can probably help them out. It's more about us being able to understand on the front what's the inventory that we need to have on site, right? So if everybody orders queens and then everybody decides they want twins, like, that's not going to work for us. But
yeah,
if there's some overlap in the middle, then that's going to be – we'll be able to take care of that.
Cool.
Let me jump in here real quick before you go to your next one on the list, Taco, because this is one I've when I first heard it, my thoughts on it have changed a little bit, but this goes back to when I was regularly coming in GA, and even if I was spending time in the Radio Bonnaroo areas and on foot, I was still parking usually in the GA, and the reentry policy, which there wasn't one, you just leave and come, leave and come, leave. And I was the leave and come guy all the time from 2005 and 4 and 9 and 14 and 15. And it was a really big part of my experience because of maybe lack of the amenities then. And maybe there was things I couldn't get. Maybe this general store solves a lot of that. Also, we live close. I might run home for a few hours. You know, I did that regularly. Just the reentry policy this year, is it an actual policy? And just speak to that.
So just like anything, I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, that was one of our questions.
Just like any policy, there's going to be leniency, right? It's not a steadfast black and white rule. The point behind this is we need to eliminate leisure trips of people coming in and out that's happening, one, during the highest traffic ingress time.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people Wednesday and Thursday trying to go out whenever we've got everybody trying to come in. That causes real issues, and it slows everybody down. So that's the first thing. We're trying to eliminate that. Like, if you need to leave because you didn't realize that you were out of your blood pressure medication,
we're gonna have
certain exceptions, right, for medical reasons. If you are trying to run and get a $5 box at Taco Bell, you're gonna have to pay up. Like, you're gonna have to pay, and we're working on, you know, that money this isn't a cash grab. That money is going to go towards sustainability and greening projects and NPO stuff that we're doing. It's not a revenue center for the festival itself.
So is that a discretionary decision, but depending on who's handling the tolls, the toll booths of in and out activity? I mean,
yeah. So you'll be charged when you come back in. So your car is marked.
So that's going to happen one way or another.
Yeah, and so so somebody pulls up to the toll booth, right? And our security people will be able to see this car has already been searched because they marked the cars that have been searched already. So they'll be able to see, okay, this car has been searched already. They need to go to the reentry lane. If that person pulls up and says, here's my bag from Walgreens, here's a receipt from 20 minutes ago with my blood pressure medication or an hour ago or whatever, yeah, we're going to make an exception. But if you tell us that you had to go because you had a life-threatening thing you need your medicine for, and all you've got is 24 packs of Coors in your bag.
You're in flip-flops.
Yeah.
And that might be life or death.
You're going to pay the fee. So,
it is discretionary to a certain point, and I like that. I do. I like there to be people that you trust, hopefully, that you're able to have a coalition enough. I know it's brutal trying to keep those toll booths and those security. I know that's difficult to keep staffed with people that you can trust and people that you know that have been with you guys, because a lot of your volunteers and a lot of these workers have been doing this for years. I like them to be able to say, you know what, I can see this situation and this is important, and we're gonna facilitate this. If you want Taco Bell, you can go on Monday, right?
Yeah.
The Gordita Crunch ain't going anywhere.
And the other thing too. Sorry, Barry, I'll pass it to you next just so we're not talking on top of each other. But the other thing I just want to add to that is it also causes a very unsafe environment for all of the pedestrian foot traffic that
we've
got going on.
It does.
Like, there's been so many times and that I've seen a pickup truck driving close enough to the arch that it made me very uncomfortable because of how many people were on the road, and you've got a truck going 2 miles an hour in the middle of all that. And listen, I'm not saying these people are intentionally trying to hurt anyone, but it can happen very easily, even if you're thinking about how to not make it happen. So that's another thought process behind it. We're not trying to just be a greedy, evil corporation that wants to take your money because you had to leave. Like, that's not what it's about.
How much is the fee was one of the questions that, you know,
I think
do you
we
have
updated
that set yet?
I think we updated the website to have the info, but I think it's $40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check the website.
So it's enough to make you reconsider. That $5 box just got expensed.
Yeah, it's a $45 box.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other thing you've got to think about too is like Brian's saying, the staff we have working at the toll booth, right? Every car we search, there's a cost associated with that. So if we're searching your car three or four times, we're spending money that's unnecessary. To some extent. So, what were you going to say, Barry?
Well, it's just one of the things I've seen, and I don't have a specific question, but it was like you kind of sort of alluded to people changing their mind, wanting to go for twin to weeds. First of all, I can't imagine wanting a clean cot because I don't want anybody touching me in that 155-degree weather, but that's a separate issue. How easy is it for somebody, you know, maybe got early, bought pre-sale tickets, you know, for Christmas, and now is wanting to change their a la carte options a little bit?
Changing it now is easy. Changing it next month is easy. Changing it when you show up on site is not easy. So if you reach out now to info@bonnaroo.com and tell them what the deal is, we'll get you swapped out. It takes a second because technically what we have to do is refund your other order and then process the new one, even if they cost the same amount of money. Like, we just have to do it for inventory tracking purposes, but our team will take care of you. So if you reach out right now, as long as what you're asking for we have still available or the option to, then we'll do it, no question.
To that, and while we're on that subject, I saw this from either Reddit or Discord, somebody asking about transferring camping passes.
Yes.
Never really thought about that myself, but in the same vein as we transfer concert tickets from friend to friend, I can't go anymore, I bought two, don't know what to do with this other one. Is that an option? I think the answer to that is no immediately, but maybe it's not. And is it something that's been discussed?
You're talking about I buy a camping pass and then I'm no longer going, so I want to give it to someone else.
I'm not talking about it. I'm going from the Discord. The question, that's what they were asking. Yeah.
The question was, is there ever going to be an option to transfer camping purchases similar to tickets? So I guess in the same way that you could buy a ticket and then transfer it to someone else, can you
do that? Like via email, through the website, those kinds of things.
So what you're telling me is that the scalper bots have now figured out they want to scalp our camping options.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does sound like it.
Yeah.
That would be a thing where what you would do is the short answer is there's not an easy way to do it, but if you reached out to us, I think what we would do is we would manually do it. If you reached out to us and told us the circumstances, but it's not as easy as if you have a ticket in your Ticketmaster, right? And you're going to send it to someone else's email. Like it's not that easy or intuitive.
Maybe it doesn't need to be, but if you want, if I have it in my hand, it gets sent to me. The festival's next week, and I don't need it. And my buddy's right here. And I'm like, here, do you want this? Like, is that simple? Correct. It's not tied to your social security number.
They're not checking your if you physically have it. Yeah.
Then you're in.
Then if someone shows up with a camping pass that's valid.
Yeah.
It's not like we're checking your ID to match what's on the camping. Sure. So,
and I think the question was just geared to because most people, especially young people, all operate in transferring, you know, via this. And
no.
And so they're probably thinking, well, I want to give it to my buddy in Missouri, but how the hell do I do that? I think that might have been the crux of the question.
The only caveat there is that I think this year for day parking, for people that are just coming in to park for the day, I think we're moving that to a digital ticket so that we're cutting down a lot of waste of printing materials.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one that you would have to, you would just need to get a refund and have your friend purchase their own because there won't be a physical pass to give to someone else.
Do you know how much those day camping passes are at this point?
The day parking, I think, is $50.
Jeez. That used to be my life, man.
Yeah.
I used to skirt everything, man. I day park over here. I do all of this. I ain't paying anything for anything.
You guys got a lot of stuff that you got at a good market value. You know?
Very good market value. Yeah. And then learning all the tricks to get around all the small value we still don't want to have to pay
for. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I
still bitched about it.
Yeah. Can you believe they're doing this to us this year? We've been coming here our whole lives.
There was a second part to that question about
go ahead, Taco.
Transferring. He was also asking on as far as the re-entry fee, perhaps 931 should be exempted was the question. One of the perks of this area is to be able to safely and easily get to town for supplies.
I think that we don't hold me to this. I'll follow up. I think that we decided that 931 would have a certain number of reentry that wasn't charged, and then after a certain amount, it was like if you were just abusing it, like leaving twice a day. But I need to follow up with my team on where we landed on that. But that's a great that's a great flag
for the logistics of anybody who's about to do 931 potentially or looking to get into that camping space. I mean, it's there's just a little back road that gets you right kind of the where you're trying to get to go. It's not quite the same as leaving the main gates and then having to snake through the town and get through traffic. If you want a Starbucks, it ain't going to take you more than about 3 minutes to get down there and do that. Right. I don't know if that matters to your decision, but it is different and it should be considered different. Plus, this is a very, very premium product.
Yeah.
I would think that a little extra coming with a premium product would not be unreasonable, and I'd completely think that was the right decision to make.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Hey, Russ, wasn't there a question about RV and power? Because you guys have added like hookups, like you would find in a KOA or whatever. But something changed right there as far as the like cost.
Oh, I think it was about, I looked through the Discord. I think it was about, will you know your spot in RV, closer RV before you arrive?
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, so the answer is yes. You'll get reached out to, I'm going to guess, probably 1st of June, like maybe a couple weeks in advance to understand what your spot number is. And then just to revisit that, I think we're sold out at this point of RVs. Those tend to go pretty quick. But that was the reasoning behind why we told people if you want to have a spot next to someone, you need to buy your passes together because we're assigning the spots based on one when you purchase. So the first to buy gets closer and then it kind of moves its way out, but also by order number. So if you've got three RVs in one order, they're going to get sequential spot numbers assigned to them. And all of that is just another small mechanism we're putting in place to help keep traffic moving along and keep things going. Because you'll get a map ahead of time. You'll know exactly where your spot is in relation to, you know, the toll or the tower entrance or wherever it might be, so you can kind of orient yourself. Something, I don't know if I've shared this with you guys, but this is an impressive one that I like to, that I've been boasting a little bit. You guys know how traffic was for GA for Bonnaroo for the first 15 years. I'd say
10 at minimum, yeah.
Yeah. Last year we had traffic data collectors essentially that would track a car from the interstate to the time it took them to get processed at the toll booth and get in. And the most any single car ever waited was 48 minutes.
Wow.
That is amazing.
That's down from like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. Four to eight hours. Yeah.
We have done a ton to make this thing run as smooth as possible. And that's why you'll continue to see things like, not necessarily that cost the fan, but things like the reentry fee. Like, we continue to keep tweaking this thing so that we can just make it run as efficiently as possible. I mean, we're parking three NFL stadiums in 36 hours, right? It's a lot on two-lane roads. So
yeah, in a field of grass.
Yeah. So anything you see us do that relates to traffic, just know it's a decision we're making because there's some logical explanation of how it's going to make things move faster.
Well, let me ask you this that you might not have the answer, might not want to answer. That's just right where we're talking about. Every year, all these years, back when it was 10 hours to get in to 48 minutes to get in, there's always the chatter, the lore of all this goes back for a long time. What do you do to get the best spot closest to Centaroo? So essentially just for your travel while you're there, for whatever other reason, but the main reason we would all agree on is because you're the closest to Centaroo.
Yeah.
Is there a strategy that people can use to be able to feel like they're doing their best to get, not, I don't know, we're just talking about RV. I'm talking about people in cars and throwing up the easy ups. Is there a strategy or is it not that simple?
No,
tied on to that, Brad, if you can't, for like that guy who's like, man, I can't get there till Saturday morning. I'm going to be, you know, screwed. Are they screwed? You know, how does that, how do you balance that?
If you're trying to come in and camp on Saturday, you're going to be you're going to be out far. You're going to be pretty far away. I don't think there's a way to scoot around that unless you buy 931 or Moon Colony, where you have a designated area that you are in regardless of when you show up.
I should have prefaced with, let's forget about group camping. Let's forget about 931 because those are obviously fixed areas. But the more GA, the traditional GA we're used to talking
about. Yeah, I know, that's a good point. That's why you think about buying those options.
Yeah, so if you're just a regular old GA carpool, you're coming in with four of your buddies, the way to get to the Arch is to get there on Tuesday. Okay. And I know that's not for everyone, but there's a reason we put the Tuesday people and start parking them right at the Arch. It's because those are the most loyal Bonnaroo GA fans that exist.
Right.
So... You get rewarded with proximity if you're willing to come out for another day and a half earlier than everybody else is, essentially.
That leads right into our next question because somebody was asking, what time do the gates open on Tuesday?
That changes every year based on really how many people tell us they're going to arrive on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we have the daily entries, that's a lot of data that really helps us understand when are people showing up. So... if we only have 5,000 people showing up on a Tuesday, I'm just going to make these numbers up arbitrarily, but if we only have 5,000 people coming on Tuesday, we might not open the gates till 4 or 5 p.m. But if we've got 20,000 people coming on Tuesday, we'll probably open it at 11 or noon. So that time will change based on how many people are going to show up that day. and how long we need to process them.
I'll be there on Tuesday, so you, at least one.
I was going to say, Taco Monday, 4 o'clock, he'll be there. And he'll probably get in.
So the over speaking to the Tuesday Wednesday thing, when this was first announced, I don't know how many years ago it was now, that it was going to be a kind of a staggered entry based on what you purchased. I don't think anybody would be surprised to think that I was cynical and thought, I don't think that's going to work, guys. It looks like it is working. But what about the people who get those days mixed up because of just negligence, and they just messed up, or the person who's always going to be screwing these things up and they're showing up on the wrong day and it'll be no big deal. Wednesday gets there on Tuesday. Tuesday gets there on Wednesday. I mean, how convoluted can that be? And how much of a problem for the patron coming in could that be for them? Or is it really that much of a problem at all?
So this happens. This happens. I would
guess all the time, but
in the grand scheme, you know, I say it happens a lot. In the grand scheme of things, it's probably a couple hundred people out of however many, but it does happen. Listen, it's not an issue for us. It will slow you down a little bit, and here's the reason why. Everything that we do to make this show run efficiently is based on having good data. So if you bought a Tuesday and you show up on Wednesday, we'll let you in. We don't have a problem. Or if you bought a Wednesday and show up Tuesday,
that's more the question, really.
Mm-hmm. We'll let you in, but we're gonna pull you aside and refund you and get you another one so that our data is correct on who actually showed up on Tuesday.
Okay.
Because if we let a bunch of Wednesday people in on Tuesday,
throws it all off.
It throws all them. It messes everything up. So we have to make sure we're only as good as our data is accurate. So we have to make sure that we've got all that information correct.
That sounds like a lot. A lot of work at the toll booths. So yeah, let's get the days right, guys, and let's show up on the day you say you're going to be there.
It is. It is a lot of work.
Okay, ready to move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this one is about group camping, and I think this is Jake from Ruham saying he saw an increase in price for group this year. Are there any new additions to that area of Outeru, and what can we expect to see? And it sounds like you kind of touched on it because you did say expanding amenities and adding more options and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've fought a long time on not raising the group price. It's probably the first year that it's gone up in quite a while. I would say since at least 2019. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look on that or have ChatGPT check me. But at some point, we have to find ways to help cover some expense of these increased amenities and doubling the bathrooms and the showers and all of that. So, you know, we're not picking on group. We just need everybody to help pitch in just a little bit. I think we went up $10, maybe. I think it went from $60 to $70 for the groupie pass. So that's what that is. I wouldn't say we're necessarily going to – this doesn't mean we're going to book more bands, but you're going to have better bathrooms, more bathrooms. There will be an increase in the amenities and infrastructure that you see over there.
Before you move on, Taco, I want to jump back to when we were, Brad, we were talking about the day parking. And the main reason I'm curious is because I've done it so many times. You mentioned that it was $50 for a day parking, you know, roughly maybe give or take a dollar or two. Is that for the whole weekend or is that per day?
That's per day.
Per day. Okay.
And we don't sell a weekend. We don't sell a weekend day parking.
Well, because in a sense, you're selling a camping pass, kind of, you know.
Two reasons.
Yeah.
The first reason is back to what I just said about data. We have people that buy a 4-day pass. They only come for Saturday, and that skews our data. We don't know how many people are coming each day. So if we make you buy a pass for Friday and for Saturday, we know exactly how many cars are coming on Friday, exactly how many cars are coming on Saturday. So that's the first reason behind not offering a 4-day, but only offering single days. The second one is, we had people that would just buy a 4-day parking pass and try to camp in the parking lot, and that screws a lot of stuff up. So
I've seen it happen. I watched it happen.
Yeah. So we have to, unfortunately, when fans decide that they're going to gain some of this and they're just trying to maybe save a dollar or two, which I respect, but it ultimately messes up a really important system that we have in place.
And by the way, everybody, your campsite and day parking is going to suck.
Yeah. So far away.
Because more people than, not you, Brad, I know you know, but more people than others realize do the day thing. I mean, there's a lot of locals, and I don't mean just Manchester, Tennessee, a lot of rural Tennessee locals and Chattanooga, Nashville guys that don't necessarily want to be out in that circus that, like, it could seem to them. A lot of people thrive on it, love everything about it. A lot of people don't want to do it anymore. And so that's an expense that they need to keep in mind, and I understand why you do it.
Yeah. Was there another that is there something I didn't answer on the day?
No, part? No, you got
I think
got,
we got it. Yeah.
You got that. What All else right. you got, Taco?
Our next question concerns the horse patrols in the campgrounds.
Oh, I had this on my list.
A lot of people are asking if they're coming back. Someone even mentioned they said last year was the first year they had items stolen from their RV. And if the horses aren't coming back, will there be an increase in security in the campgrounds?
Let me tag that, then we'll go right to you,
go
Brad. Is that, first of all, I get a little irritated is only where that comes ahead quick in my mind quickly when a bunch of anecdotes start to, okay, I'm sorry you had a bad day. I'm sorry someone stole something from you. I don't know that that has. I'm going to guess it doesn't have any correlation to that. But we did mention on this show, or at least I brought it up, I believe, and just in passing, the Mounties, as we would call them, the horsebacks, that were there for so many years. And I, from what I understand, it looks like maybe we've only been doing this for about not having this for maybe a year, maybe two. There was something about those, and I know you understand this, that it was a safe feeling. Doesn't matter if it was real, that it was a perception-based thing. It felt Bonnaroo. It felt safe. It felt like there was somebody who was looking over us who wasn't trying to come after us. And you know where I'm going with this, where some people think about the police. That's not me, but you know that some people think that way. I miss those damn things. Anyway, continue to your thoughts on that, and are they coming back? My guess is no, but go ahead.
So it's something that we've obviously been paying attention to. 2024 was the first year that they weren't there. So just,
okay, so that is right.
Just 1 year. What it boils down to, this is our take on the situation, because there was a big Reddit thread that got some traction on this, and we've had people reach out with questions about it. The reason behind why we decided to not use them was strictly that housing those horses and feeding them and doing all, it's an added layer of
cleaning up after them.
It's an added layer of stress on this infrastructure. Hopefully you're starting to catch a theme here, right?
Yeah.
The thing, whenever we took those away, we still added in the same amount of security that we took away. So it wasn't like the overall number of security went down. The form of the security went down. And my interpretation is that it's all an optics thing. Regardless of if there's more security guys around, if you don't see them, you don't perceive that you're more safe. So what we're working on is some ways to make our police and security presence in the campgrounds more visible now that the horses are gone. Because I agree with you, Brian. There's something about seeing those things. You're just like, okay, nobody's going to try to pull anything funny right now.
It's just a safety perception. Feel. Yeah. Yeah. It's comforting.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, there'll be more security. And we're working on ways to, one, make that more visible, and two, make it easier. I think one of the things people really liked about the Mounties was, if they were by their camp and they had an issue pop up that they needed security, they didn't have to run around and try to find a guy with a radio or a security gear. They would look up and go, there's one right there. And so that is the thing that we're going to solve for in 25 is access and visibility of those resources.
Well, let's give another. There's also a subculture on this, that having more police presence doesn't make some people, or what they think looks like a more official police presence, doesn't look, or a security presence doesn't make people feel safer. I mean, that's some people's true heartfelt feeling is, I don't feel safer just because I see some uniforms that I'm used to, Americanized way of law enforcement. I'm not trying to say I agree with that. That's just what some people think. That to some, I think, was that, well, this is different. This is not the stuff I'm used to or been conditioned by TV or your phone to tell you that this is scary and this is not.
Yeah.
And so I, even when you say there could be more and more and more, I think some people could look at that and say, I don't know if that's making things better or not. I think it is, for the record. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I have to tread a very thin line between two different people, right? The people that more security makes them feel safer and makes them think that the single day people aren't going to steal all their stuff while they're at camp.
Those damn single day people, bad.
Yeah, and then I have to also make sure the people that those kind of security forces make feel uncomfortable, I have to make sure that they feel also like they're in a space that they can be comfortable, right? So I get that there's two different mindsets. Something that we added last year, it might have been 2 years ago now, and that you'll start to see more of, we added a team called SafeFest. And these are guys and girls that are wearing like neon green shirts that say SafeFest. They're not security. They're not cops. They are people there to interface with patrons that have an issue they need to discuss or look at that they don't feel comfortable talking to a cop or a security guy about. We got this from something that Insomniac does at their festival. It's called Ground Control. It's the same thing. It just has a different name. But that is something you'll see us increase on, because that has been a program that has proven, hey, I'm having a panic attack because maybe someone put something in my drink. I'm just making up a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable going and talking to a cop about this, but I need to talk to someone in a official capacity about what I'm experiencing. And that's where SafeFest and our medical services, like those people, we hope are going to be the ones that make people feel more comfortable out there, rather than just adding more police, right, with their lights and guns on their hips.
And those medical like tents that have the, you know, like the Red Cross on them that have been prevalent throughout the campgrounds. I haven't spent a lot of time out there recently. That's still very much where we're expecting to see them, right? If you need those medical tents, that hadn't changed, because usually you would see the Mounties hanging around. There's nothing there needed to be walking around looking. They'd be right there. So if you found the Mountie, you found the medical tent too often. Going back to talking about I need help. Okay, found that. Now I'm probably close to the medical tent. But those are still there. Those still do all the same things that they've been doing for all these almost now decades.
Yep, and next to those medical tents, you'll find the areas that we've set up for these new SafeFest teams.
So they're integrated almost together there then. So cool, great.
Yep.
Because safety at festivals right now is finally, in the subculture online of talking, is talked about more and more and accepted. Like the stigma of, we're going to have something set up, the Narcan stuff, that we're going to set up stuff that you wouldn't normally feel like in your city or in your community, I'm going to run and try to find somebody with life-saving drug overdose stuff. Like, that's just, you know, we don't really want to talk about that kind of stuff. But in the festival environment, that's become very accepted by seemingly everybody, and most all of us are just ecstatic to know that.
Yeah, to me, it's like, this isn't the best example, but it's like when I was, you know, in high school, my mom was like, I'm cool if you drink, but you got to do it at the house. You can only here, right? We had to get with the fentanyl crisis that's happening and all of that. We, I think, as organizers, not just Bonnaroo or C3, in the whole industry, I think we're at a point where we have to acknowledge these things are happening, so we have to combat it. We're not going to stop the fentanyl crisis. So what we can do is best prepare ourselves and our fans to take action if something does happen. And that's where the whole Narcan thing comes from.
I just with add on to that, I think Brian, our guest, Patrick from Sobru, one of the things he said that triggered to me, and Brad, you sort of mentioned it earlier, is maybe you're that guy who's in a group of people who are partying pretty hard, but you don't want to, and you need a safe place to go, you know, and like you said, Brian, not go tell on them to a cop, you know, you just need to go to somebody and say, hey, I need to get away, or I think my friend's doing this. Or
yeah, somebody.
Without narking on it type of thing. I think my friend's in trouble, but I'm not sure because I've never seen this happen before. Where do you go? So I think that makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. Brad.
Totally.
Real quick, I know we're coming up on, you've got to go here in a little bit. Thanks for so much for your time. But I want to make sure, Russ, what other questions do we have?
We got a few. I don't know how many more we'll get to, but there was one about.
I probably got another 10 or 15 at max, probably.
All right. We can do one question in like 10 minutes if we try. So let's go. I've got two thoughts left that won't take long. I'll do it at the end. So, Taco, let's do what you got, and then we'll wrap it up shortly.
All right. Well, I like this one because this says Brad's specific camping must brings, and I assume they're talking about you, Brad, and not.
Well, there was
the
one
Brad
of them, so I can mark that one off. Now,
yeah. assuming you stay in an RV on site during the festival, what are your gotta haves, like from creature comforts to life hacks? And then to kind of tack onto that, someone was also asking about essentials for staying cool because they said they were traumatized from the heat wave last time.
Essentially, Brad, this is your version of Bonru do's and don'ts. Go.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with my creature comforts and things that I have to have. Mm-hmm. One of them, which I don't know how this would play in a tent, but I always bring not an open flame candle, but a candle warmer because I like to have a smell. I like to mask kind of the smell of just, you know, being out there for a while. So that's the first thing. Something that makes me feel at home. Coconut water is my number one thing I drink every day to help me stay hydrated.
Good for you. Good stuff. Yeah.
Drinking just normal water is not going to do it for
it's
you.
It's the most boring thing ever, too, you know?
Yeah. So I guess the point there is find something that has electrolytes and is hydrating that's not just water to drink every day, because you're walking 3 or 4 miles a day without realizing it in 90-degree heat, and you even if you drink 2 gallons of water, it's not enough. So you need to find other ways to hydrate yourself. So that's one. I always bring a blanket and pillow from my house. I don't like using generic ones. I know in camping that would probably mean that I'm just not going home with that stuff, but anything that makes me feel for 2 weeks like I'm in the house helps me kind of get through everything. The obvious things like sunscreen. My favorite thing that is also electrolytes that I keep on me, and you have to go to the Walmart kids section, is the little squeeze pouches of like applesauce and stuff.
Baby food essentially. Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. Those things, and they make adult ones now that have more electrolytes in them. Those things are easy to keep in your pocket. They don't have to be refrigerated, and they are filling and keep you hydrated. So that's one of my secrets, I think.
That's actually gold, that. Yeah. Guys. We've done a ton of do and don'ts, and I haven't thought about that. You get a little blast of some little, I'm sure there's some protein in there. There's just energy ingredients. Yeah, I like that.
I'm trying to find, can I share my screen on this? Will it let me?
You should be able to.
Yeah, Taco's the guy to ask on that one.
I pulled it up real quick on the Kroger, good old K. Rogers website. Let me share this.
There we go.
Yeah.
Look at this interactiveness,
wow.
Man.
Wow.
This show.
This is high tech stuff.
We are taking this to another level, bro.
All right. Yeah. So we're looking at, what does it say? Go-go.
Yep. Go-go squeeze. Got blueberry, apple, pineapple, all kinds of different flavors. It's just like applesauce for adults. It'll keep you hydrated.
Nice. Dude, this is big time stuff. I will
That's
have
gold.
This.
Yeah. That's gold.
Yeah.
No freak.
We're all going to go stock up now.
Yeah, and I can't even pretend like it was my idea. It's too out there in the open now.
All right.
He said, I've only got one left, and it's a throwaway question. So if you've got anything looks good over there, let's do it.
Yeah, I got one real quick. We got an email almost right before we went live. This is from Joe, who's sent in a couple other stuff, but he was asking about, and Brian, I think you can relate to this. He said he's heard stories of people in the past that showed up and didn't have the prescription bottle, so they had to turn around and go home and grab them. But he's coming from Houston, so he can't exactly do that. So he's asking. So he ended up taking all of his bottles, regardless of if it was vitamins, supplements, prescribed medications. He wants to know, is this the only way to do this, or is there possible to take a photo of the labels, or like, what's the best way to handle if you have, if you don't want to risk your medications being confiscated?
Have the bottle. I mean, I'm going to answer the question. Have the bottle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of the confusing question. If you would have. So he's saying he wants to bring all the pills, but not bring the bottles with him.
And the only reason I could see where he'd say that, sometimes you got a bunch of bulky stuff. Maybe you only need five. Yeah. You don't need 55. You don't want to have the possibility of your entire prescription being.
He attached your case, the photo, Brian, and it is a lot of bottles.
Brian, didn't you bring like one of those 7 day a week? You know, one.
Yeah, It was a failure on my part of not thinking it through, but I put my medications in the Monday through Sunday thing, thinking, well, this is very clear. No, it's not. Anyway, have a nice day. I'm like, whoa. But now I get a plastic bag, put them all where you can read. I mean, I don't have like a four of them. And you can just read the names, and you can take a look at the dates, and it's just, boom, put it down.
Yeah, Paco, my answer officially, and I hope you all understand why this is the answer, is that we really want you to have a bottle with these pills in it that has your name on it. Like, we got people trying to bring a lot of stuff in that we don't want them to bring in, and this is, unfortunately, people that have no bad intentions sometimes get hurt in that process, but... I would recommend that as much as you can, even if you got to peel the label off and stick them to the bag, like whatever you want to do, like have something that says.
I wouldn't even do that, but yeah.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Especially if you're talking about anxiety medication and blood pressure medication, which is essentially the only things that matter to me in this moment. And those go in tandem, right? You don't got one, the other's going to get worse. And so that could be a really, really dangerous thing for people.
And then if they get confiscated, your anxiety and blood pressure is going to go up anyway.
Yeah, you want to talk about having a panic attack now, maybe I need the medical tent. So
yeah,
these are, I would be as by the book, by the letter, and as cautious as making sure, excuse me, that you do this right, because that's a hell of a way to ruin the beginning of an amazing weekend. So I would not try to skirt that whatsoever. Anything else, Taco?
This one's not about camping, but I'm curious too. We've had people ask, do we know where the Infinity Stage is going yet? Is that ready to be
announced? Yeah.
Oh, location of it. We're guessing where the comedy tent is, but that's easy for us to say.
Yep, you're correct.
Oh, look at that.
All right.
It's almost like we've been there a few times.
Called it.
It's going to be in that bottom corner where Calliope, Comedy Tent, all of that used to happen. The Who stage is going to get relocated. It's not going away. It's just getting relocated because this thing takes up a decent footprint. So we're going to be doing some grading back there. We're going to be putting in drainage. Like it's a hefty investment for this thing. It's not just building a simple tent stage. So, but yeah, that's the location it'll be in. And I think that lineup, don't hold me to it, but if our talent
just
team
drop has, it now.
If our talent team has everything together that they're supposed to, that lineup is gonna come out on Tuesday.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, okay. Well, this episode will come out Wednesday. So by the time you hear this, you will have the Infinity Stage lineup probably.
Yeah, unless they screw it up and have to wait until the following Tuesday.
Let's hope for that. Then we'll talk it up.
Yeah, we'll talk
either,
it
either
up.
Either way, it's coming soon. The final one from me here, Brad.
Yep.
Has, maybe it's information that's privileged and it's not allowed to be out there. Have you sold any of the preposterous $26,000 Rue Insider packages yet? Has this happened?
Yes.
You have.
Wow.
Was it Jack White? Who did this?
I mean, you guys forget that we used to have Roll Like a Rockstar.
I know.
It sold out every year. Roll Like a Rockstar sold out every year.
But wasn't that more like $5,000 to $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 or something?
No, it was 40.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, corporations. Yeah, that was set up almost like a travel agency package. This is on the, like, here's your ticket, three this, four this, $26,000. It's just like right there for anybody just having fun with it. But okay, sold a couple of them. Good for them.
There are people that live very professional, quaint lifestyles that make really great income, and sometimes they just want to come out to a show and forget that the regular world exists and have fun, just like the rest of us.
And the best way to do that is to go exclusive as it gets. So good.
Yeah.
So you could either buy a car.
Act surprised when I give you a copy of yours, Brian. Okay. When I give you yours, act surprised.
Yeah.
Let me know how it goes.
No comps.
I can stand by the sound guy. I'm so excited.
No comps on the insider package, unfortunately.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
Even I'm not going to ask for that.
All right. Well, okay. Brad, sometime later we're going to talk about Arcade Fire, what all that means. I know that's probably for later. That's a great ad, though.
Yeah, and BP, man, thanks so much for your time. It's always a fun time, and it's good conversation, and we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate all the answers and all your time.
Yeah, man, this is always fun, and we can do, I don't know, maybe if I'm crazy, we can do some another episode here in the next week or two and talk about whatever you guys, we haven't really discussed the lineup officially, I don't think.
Can we wait for your partner in crime to come back? When's he get off baby leave?
His first day back is tomorrow, so.
Oh, okay. So we need to then. Yeah. We definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we could get less official. We can just be a bunch of dopes sitting around talking about what we think about the lineup and not connected to anybody. If y'all want to do it, we do this every single week, Brad. So come.
As you know.
Do you want to be the new co-host? Come on.
Maybe I need to host a. If you guys ever go on vacation all at once, maybe I'll host a solo episode.
I love like it. That.
You, it's you a got Brad the right Parker. Name. It's a Brad Parker takeover.
Yeah.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, man, how cool is that for him to come on? And, you know, we say it all the time, but he's kind of reached out to us partly because, like he said, he listens to the show and he hears us make the mistakes. And I could just hear his teeth grinding, you know, that's wrong.
I have a feeling there's a level of hate listening, not in the word of hate, but just like, let's see how many things they screw up this week.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I better pay attention to see what they messed up.
Take notes.
Or he just likes to hear his name mentioned.
Well, no,
we all like that.
But no, seriously, for him to come on, you know, we see all these questions about camping and listeners and patrons, and, you know, because they've changed the way camping goes, so there's got to be questions. So for him to come on and address it directly is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. A couple things to get to here as we wrap up the show. Well, shaky knees, a little bit news that I'm going to let you take, Russ, because that seems to be more your account these days. You've been doing that. You've been doing that for years. But real quick, a week out tweet tease. Next week, I'm going to see Billy Strings in Nashville, and I'll give a quick review before we have our guest for next week's show. And this is a very, very defining time in the life of whether I'm going to be a fan of Billy Strings. And that's what this whole idea is with some friends that are taking me to go to this show at Bridgestone Arena, Nashville, on Broadway, on a Saturday night. We're already off to a bad start. That's where I got to hang out. And I was talking to some guys the other day, and I didn't realize this completely, but the jam band scene has really come to Billy Strings. Not as much Billy Strings went to the jam band community. And the way that that synergy has happened, he's reciprocated that. And his shows have turned into, there's lots before and grilled cheese sandwiches and bootleg merchandise, which that part I love. But he's also tailoring his sets this way. This bluegrass guy who doesn't, I've only been around on a prolific way for about 5 years now, 3-4 to 5 years. He plays a jam band style set. And the newest song on his new album that's got the most metrics on Spotify, and I'm sure it's close everywhere else, is Gild the Lily. And can I be unreasonable just for a second?
You always
Why
are.
Would you change? Yeah.
If this Gild the Lily song is fabulous, and if he doesn't play it, the show I go to, he's dead to me. He's dead to me.
Okay. I didn't know where you were going with that.
It's so, well, because that's unreasonable. Because he's so great. I love that song so much. And it's a hot charting song. I'm not talking about I want to hear something third song on the fourth album. I want to hear the song that's charting the most in America right now. And I don't think I'm going to get it because he doesn't play every single night. So I will have a full review, whether he's dead to me or not,
in a week of the love affair with Billy Strings.
A week from right now. And that's
the bluegrass thing isn't surprising, right? I mean, that's where Jerry Garcia came out of, right?
Yes, the connective tissue is all there.
Most bluegrass is essentially jam. Yeah,
but
that's true. It's one note just played 100 different ways.
But it's not the we're going to promise not to play this song today because we played it yesterday, right?
That's a different thing.
That's a jam band specific thing.
If Billy Strings plays that his most charting song or most, you know, stream song on Friday, I'm not going to get it on Saturday. And that's just tough bleep for me, but he'll be dead to me if he doesn't play it on Saturday.
No pressure. Yeah.
Anyway, what do we got? Shaky Knees doing the Clues thing, right?
They're doing Rue Clues. So if you don't know, Shaky Knees is normally in May. It's in Atlanta. This year, they announced it's going to be in September at
unfortunately for us here, we like it in the spring.
So, you know, they pushed that back. So we don't have the lineup yet. And everybody's been wondering, when is this lineup coming out? Well, this week, they started dropping Clues. And this is pretty much Rue Clues, just straight out of the playbook.
Have you figured any of them out or found anybody who did? Because I didn't even look.
I didn't personally figure them out, but I have the answers based on... So the first one was, and I think I can put them up on the screen. The first one was apparently Lucy Dacus, which had a lot of people excited.
Okay, never heard of her.
Second clue, I think she's part of the Boy Genius kind of group. Second clue, Cage the Elephant, which, you know, makes
that
sense.
Was a clue?
That was a clue.
Cage, all right. Cage the Elephant is the act that Shaky Knees needs to have because they're an indie rock festival. I love
100%
it.
100% agree. It's perfect. Third clue, and this has me the most excited, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh my God! Nice. I was just talking to some friends about going down to Huntsville to the Orion.
I'm still planning to go to the Weird Al show in Huntsville at the Orion.
I can't not see Weird Al. It's like it's just something that can't not happen. Yeah.
I've seen him probably two or three times. It's
never
a fantastic show.
Never have. That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
So those are the only three.
Those are the only three. They put all these out this week. I mean, it was like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, they were quick.
So, you know, we still don't know when the lineup's coming. But what I thought was funny was if you look at some of the comments on like Instagram or wherever they're putting these out, people don't know what this is going on. You know, like we know what Rue Clues are because that's
Shaky's never done this.
Shaky's never done this. So people are like, what the hell are you doing? Why don't you just release the lineup? Wow, I don't know what any of this means.
Like, why are you making me do all? Yeah, it's for the because a lot of those people that are going to go to a city festival in Atlanta, they're a lot of them aren't Bonnaroo people, so they're not used to all the quirks and the weirdness and like
correct.
Yeah,
it would be just kind of like, why are you patronizing me, man? Just tell me.
Yeah,
just why are you teasing me? Just give me the lineup, and maybe by the time the show comes out, maybe the lineup will come out. Maybe they're doing this leading up to a lineup reveal soon.
Yeah,
hopefully.
And for anybody who missed Cage the Elephant at Bonnaroo, was it just last year?
It was last year. Unfortunately, I missed it because that was the Mars Volta playing at the same time.
That's right. Wow. That was great. Great.
I really want to see Cage the Elephant at Shaky Knees. So that's got me excited.
It's got me excited. I had no intentions on going, and it's just down the road, and we can get those amenities and arrangements taken care of quite well. So maybe this isn't one of these. We're all going to Bourbon and Beyond, except we're not. Maybe we actually are going to Shaky Knees. We'll see. It's a long ways down the road.
Yeah,
but
yep.
Thanks for that, and I'm that's just about everything I got. I can't wait for this Billy String show so I can report back. Barry, what's other than
Barry, how close are you?
Safely getting through the concrete jungle that is Middle Georgia.
We're just about to the Atlanta Airport area. You know where that is. So we're
Hampton.
A couple hours from. We're from. Yeah. We're a couple hours from home. But just real quick, next week's show you were talking about Shaky Knees adapting. I'm going to call it adapting. Mm-hmm. And also, Brad talking about them adapting. Our guest next week, and I'm not going to say who just because things can happen and I hate teasing something and then it falls very good. Our guest next week will be someone very involved in another festival, and we're going to talk about how Gick has adapted. So
that's right.
They're
that's
all
right.
learning from each other.
We'll be talking some boutique festival kind of stuff is what we'll be touching on next week.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. So we got a lot of good shows coming up. So, all right. Thanks, guys. I'm going to get off of here so we can get through this traffic and get home safe.
Hey, safe travels, Barry.
Yeah. All right. See you guys.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.